Song of encouragement this morning will be number 940, 940, if you'd like to mark that number. Before Austin brings us our lesson, we'll sing 864, 864. Would you stand, please, as we sing?
Just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. Then when twilight falls and my Savior calls, I shall go to Him in glory. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates sweep outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever. Just a few more years with her toil and tears, and the journey will be ended. Then I'll be with Him where the tide of time with eternity is blended. I'll exchange my cross for a sorry crown where the gates sweep outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever. What a joy 'twill be when I wake to see Him for whom my heart is burning. Nevermore to sigh, nevermore to die, for the day my heart is yearning. I'll exchange my cross for a sorry crown where the gates swing outward never. And see I'll lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever.
Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen? You may be seated. Greg, I appreciate you leading us in that way. Just want to black that out. Can you just black that out, if you don't mind? All right, so I had a real cute introduction, and I thought it was going to be catchy and engage your attention. Boy, I'll be very straight with you. I was so moved the past several minutes. Got me thinking about a lot of things that I've just got to comment on, if I can. And Brianna and I have been contemplating, do we need to reassess our giving in amount and the process of that? And the thoughts from this morning helped me to identify a problem that I continually have. And you might have it too, or face it from time to time. It's like I have this desire to give and be sacrificial, and I'm not even talking about just money, but life. But then I immediately have this feeling of, but if it's too much, I might be without. And it's just not true. And that a few months ago, I just was brought to such a low place because I just get so frustrated with that human emotion of let me make sure I'm okay first. When that was one of the last thoughts that Jesus had. And I just get so, it was brought up again. And I was thinking, do I repent after my preach? Or do I just tell you now? And so I'm just going to tell you now. I'm going to pray about it. Because it's so true when you sit back and think about it. You know, you were born where you were born, so was I. I wouldn't trade any of it. I've been gifted and blessed beyond measure, and I grow so callous to it. And I don't want to be a callous individual to what God has offered so freely. And so with that, I want to pray for all of us as we lift up God's great name. Father, thank you so much. Help us to humble ourselves, and we pray that you will humble us. And give us the understanding, Lord. We are a result of grace and providence and blessing beyond measure. Rip away the callous that might be on our hearts. Create in us a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within us. Lord, help us to love fiercely, courageously, and even in the midst of fear. We pray we will never hoard your blessings, but give as you've called us to give. Live as you've called us to live. And devote ourselves to you and your kingdom and the work that is truly heavenly on earth. Forgive us, Father. Our flesh is strong, and Satan uses it to tempt us, to keep us, and hold us back. Forgive us, Lord, of that fleshly weakness. Help us to be spirit-led people, spiritual, every moment of the day. And in Jesus we pray. Amen. Let me just start with a question. What word does Jesus use to describe his church? His people. I gave it to you already. Oh well. But what word is used most often? So you're immediately thinking church. Three times. Once in Matthew 6, where he makes that statement, upon this rock I'll build my church. Twice in Matthew chapter 18, when he talks about if in confrontation and conflict with another person, if they won't listen, take the situation of the person before the church. Twice used in that text. Do you know the other one though? The one that's used way more often? How about kingdom? It's used some 52 times in Matthew. 20 in Mark. 45 in Luke. And another 5 in John. But when I asked the question, what was the thing that popped up into your mind first? I couldn't even ask the question without saying the word church. Because we are so focused on where we are and what primarily and firsthand fits in with our life, church. But what is the word that Jesus uses most often to refer to his people? Kingdom. What's the word that we struggle to understand meaning? Kingdom. Now, let me go back to that picture that was going to be my cutesy introduction. So I like Disney movies. And when I hear they're doing remakes, I'm going to make sure I at least pay attention and watch it at some point. Well, I chose to watch it while Brianne fell asleep on me last night. But hearing the conversations between daughter and father and mother and husband and all of those things, and countryman and soldier and citizen and all of these things, we're so far removed from that dynasty and that culture, from that setting and that place, that I can't even fathom or understand what that must have been like. Things like when she said, "Please, I would rather be killed than to have to suffer with disgracing and dishonoring my family." Do you understand that? I don't. I can't fathom or understand the extreme devotion to a life that may not please an individual, all for the sake of bringing honor to the family, bringing honor to the name, submitting to the place that I was called to live in. It almost seems like a culture that's so far removed, it's out of this world. Because of the time from then to now. Because of the location distance from then here, or from then and there to here and the now. I think church is a word we use and are comfortable with because it's popular. Jesus said it, so it's true. But I think kingdom is a mentality. It's a mindset and an understanding of where I belong and who I belong to. And I want to draw your thoughts to a kingdom mentality for just a few more moments this morning. So we can pray as Jesus prayed in Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come." Think about these thoughts for just a moment, if you would. What does the word kingdom mean? It means what it emphasizes. King. Kingdom. To have a kingdom mentality and mindset is to acknowledge and understand that Jesus is king. Christ is king. Amen? And if king, then Lord of your life. And if Lord of your life, then the one you follow and the one you serve. We exist in this world to spread the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom, the one that John the Baptist talked about, that the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is not just coming, but the kingdom is here in Matthew chapter 3. And then Jesus, in talking about the kingdom in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he talked about the kingdom. He said, "Repent and believe." And then Matthew chapter 6, he prayed, teaching us how to pray. "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And then he said later in Matthew 6, 33, "Seek first the kingdom, and then all those things will be added unto you." Kingdom was of extreme importance to Jesus and the mindset it created within his people. And I don't want us to lose touch with that mindset today. Christ is King, and we come to spread that news. The news that within the kingdom we receive blessing upon blessing, as was so eloquently stated to us both in meditation and in prayer earlier. That the blessings flow freely under Christ's rule. And then finally, we get to be part of that kingdom by God's grace and the blood of Christ, empowered by the Spirit within us as Christians. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom mindset? Understanding these texts. Jesus said clearly, "Your kingdom come." In a prayer, he told us and taught us how to pray. Pray to create a mindset and to create a motivation within your life that I seek the kingdom. In my prayer, I'm praying kingdom. In my life, I'm living kingdom. And so that in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, when we pray and seek for the kingdom of God, we're praying for the reign and the rule of the kingdom of God in our lives. Jesus having a conversation with some people who tried to trip him up with a question. Look at Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 20. And I think I put that text on here. Oh, thank you. Here's what Jesus is saying in conversation when they tried to catch him with this question. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. They thinking it would be a revolt and a revolution to overturn government and to take power within a place as if it were some political or people group. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There, for behold.'" What did Jesus say? "The kingdom of God is in the midst of you." What did Jesus say the kingdom was? Close relationship with him. He's like, Pharisees, you're looking over there for some great sign and wonder, or you're saying, "Look there, behold, here it is." And Jesus is like, "The kingdom is right here. And it will be paid for with this right here. And it was brought about by him up there. Your minds are far from me. Your words are beyond me. When the kingdom is right in front of you." The kingdom mindset. Is an inner self understanding of who I belong to, King Jesus. Who I follow, my Lord. The grace of gifts that he gives so freely. The kingdom mindset is motivation to spread that good news. I love our church, as if I could even say our. I love the Lord's church. Do you? But I'm so grateful to be part of God's kingdom. Kingdom mentality suggests that even if I'm out of town, well, they'll probably never come and be a part of my church. I can still talk to them about the reign and the rule of Lord King Jesus. It means when I go visit some other place, even though that's not my church, I still can go and encourage Christians because you know what? That's the kingdom of God there too. A kingdom mentality. It takes hold of you and it goes with you wherever you are. Why? Because Jesus wants to take hold of you. And Jesus goes with you wherever you are. Which is why he said, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." The end of Ecclesiastes 12:13. Teacher said, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep his commandments. Some people say, wow, that sounds like a king. To beat the subjects into submission and subjugate them to him. And out of fear and potential discipline, to live out the life he's called you to live. But that's not it at all. You see, biblical fear is not, oh no, he might kill me, while there's some of that. Biblical fear is awe and respect for the one we adore. Worship is adoration. It's an expression of what and who I adore. That is King Jesus. And when the teacher says to fear God, it means to have an awe and a respect for the one you adore. Yes, the one who can kill both mind, body, and soul. But because of that, I am motivated by love to keep commandments. I fear, aka, and am in awe. And out of respect for God, I keep commandments. That's love. So fear God, keep his commandments. It's the one I have a deep relationship with and out of love and motivated to follow in his steps. And so while it might sound scary or mean or overbearing, fear God, keep commandments. At the root and at the core, adore the Father. And in love, follow in the steps of Jesus. Kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to help you have a kingdom mindset. Let Jesus take hold of you. Let Him go with you wherever you go. And if we can help you in that process, to let go of the flesh, as we read about in 1 John 2:15, 16, and 17, there's nothing valuable in this world. There's nothing of worth that lasts or that has any meaning inherently within itself. Let go. Come to Christ and submit yourself to King Jesus and live your life with a kingdom mentality, spreading the good news that He paid for your life with His body on the cross. And if we can help you in that process and along that journey, we want to do so. So if you're like me, you need to repent and talk publicly, man, we want to help you with that. But if you're somebody that needs to make a change internally, and that is something that happens in your pew, make sure you and God have that moment now. Start now. Or maybe you're pricked in the heart in just a few moments. Start then. Or maybe when you get home in thinking about this day again as you are moved in worship, you repent then. Repent and change your ways. Create that 180-degree turn that takes you off of the path you were going and back on the path of Jesus. I've said this and I want to say it again. This life God intended you to live as a Christian, it's never been about your perfection. It's always been about your direction. The direction that is you to Jesus into heaven with God forever. We want to help you in that journey. If we can help you publicly, let it be known as we stand and sing together.